now. Free Fire Radio. Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. This is Carl and Linda Bott.
Good morning.
Yeah, I can't hear anything through my little headset here. Now I can.
Your little headset?
My little headset, joined by Bad Bob, who's not smiling this morning. Why aren't you smiling, Bob?
Haven't had the second cup of coffee yet.
So, okay, but everything mechanically is working.
Well, stay there. Stay on the microphone, because I want... Go ahead. You've got an introduction, and we'll...
Okay, and then, of course, my sweetie Linda here.
Don't want to stop your flow.
Okay.
Oh, going to be a good day today. It's currently 46 degrees. If you are just tuning in, it's 7:06. It's going to be light rain and mist today and tomorrow, so they say. Going to be a high about 50 today. Okay, let's talk about the Women's Crab Feed.
The Shasta Women's Refuge Crab Feed.
It is the Shasta Women's Refuge. February 6th. Yes.
And we'll be down there along, and I guess KCNR is getting a table, and that's excellent.
We're having our table, and where we're going to crack crab, and give us wine and other things.
Well, let me tell you something even more so that makes me happy. First of all, it's really a fun event, and there's crab... feeds. This is the time for fundraising for many, many people. There's many crab feeds. I think specifically not that to just single out this particular crab feed, but this they have just lost $200,000 worth of funding.
Mm.
And this is where Carl and I have this kind of philosophy that when we fundraise or we do something, it's our way of tithing. So we're going to buy a table and invite, well, my parents are going to come up, and we've got a few other friends and some people. And it's going to feel good to see those crabs and all the people there, knowing that the money is going for something that is so worthy. And I understand that in economic downfall or downturn times, the domestic abuse, spousal abuse, and domestic abuse is a huge upsurge of that.
Well, you know, there's a lot of pressure on people, and they don't have the, you know, money becomes a huge problem. Keeping the family together becomes a huge problem. But every one of these crab feeds that we see is a fundraiser, which has, you know, has, you know, money going to all the proceeds going to good, to, you know, to, for good causes. And in with all the cutbacks from the government, and, you know, it's funny how they'll take your money on one side and give to, you know, big business and banks, yet they'll cut back on things that help people.
Or save the spotted shrimp.
Yeah, you know, they'll save the spotted shrimp, right, or they'll cut back on logging again. But it's how they will take billions and billions of our tax dollars to bail out banks who are now giving record bonuses again, six-figure bonuses, up to 900-and-something thousand, almost seven-figure bonuses, and yet you have something like the Shasta, you know, Women's Refuge.
Bob,
gets cut $200,000. Tell me what's right about that.
Well, Bob, and also you're going to be, you and Brent Belongi Entertainment, Brenda, and you and your crew are going to be doing...
We are the crew.
Well, you will
be... But it makes you sound bigger.
But you're going to do the three Jumbotron...
Yes.
Screens, and that this is huge.
The projectors arrived, and we were testing them last night and going ooh and ah. And, yeah, it's going to be a blast. I think we'll have a lot of fun down there.
So we're all going to be in the soup, and we'd love to have you join us. That's what that whole thing was about, where it's going and why we're going to be there. Again, this is Carla Linda Bott, 605-4567. We're taking your calls this morning. We have Kent Dagg.
Dags is going to be on the show. We're going to talk about the Radical 10 ideas. How can this help our city raise money? Because, you know, we need money. You know, we're down. Our unemployment is, they say, officially 15.6%, but anybody knows it's well over 20%. And, you know, another business, we're going to talk about that. Another business went under. And but we're going to take a quick break here. This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR. 1460.
I like that the bump music. Bob, I just, as far as I'm concerned, every time we go in, come in and go out to a break, make it great music, because if people are just tuning in, they need to be excited to start the day. It's 7:13 this morning, 46 degrees. It's raining outside, so make sure you you button up and bring your umbrella. It's going to be high today of 50. It's probably going to rain here for a couple days, so they say. And the weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. Try their award-winning wines. How about that Cypress Bridge?
Well, you know what? It's you gave me a call yesterday. It was down on the other side of Cypress Bridge, and the crane collapsed. Of course, everybody knows that. And but the first reports was it ruptured the sewer line, a brand new 16-inch sewer line, and we had sewage pouring into the river. The crane, of course, had stopped all traffic. It turns out that according to the news this morning, that the crack in the pipe was only about the size of a 50-cent piece. However, some stuff did leak out, and they're fixing that. You know, the thing about it is after the crane went down, and they had to start routing traffic around. How fast traffic backs up in Redding. I mean, I was trying to make a right turn onto Cypress to go down and catch the freeway.
Yes, that lane was ridiculous.
And if you're on Bocelli, you just stopped, and you might as well just, we got out, I shaved once, changed the tires, the whole thing, because it just stopped. And it's funny, because when you got up close, and, there was nothing there, so you can't figure out what's going on. But the weather, we're having right now, we're talking about this rain, everybody's going, that we need this rain. We are so, so short of rainfall. And, we were talking about Whiskey Town, we were talking about Lake Shasta, that it could rain like this every day for 6 months, and we might catch up then. So, even though it's tough, we need to get the rain.
Oh, by the way, Friday, we are going to have a really fun show. We have Reading Improv. Should be interesting to hear Reading Improv. They're going to come in. And, Carl and I, we've talked to you about what's happening, on the political front, what's happening on different things. But, we love to embrace the arts and what's happening. So Reading Improv's coming in Friday, and we're going to give away two tickets to Last Comic Standing. These guys are going to be hilarious if you're into that kind of thing.
Well, and see, when's that going to happen? Is that's in the, that's at the Cascade Theater?
It's at the Cascade Theater, and the lines are lit up. Probably have a.
It's over. You're overrunning Bob here. He's running out of pens and papers. So.
Well, let's just go.
Let's go to the lines.
Let's take it now.
Hey, Rob. Good morning.
Good morning, Rob. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you, Z?
Great.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
Hey, you're talking about the backed up traffic there on Bocelli yesterday.
Yeah.
While I sat there was about 15, 16 minutes in the same traffic you were. I counted the signal flash, the camera at the signal flash, almost 18 times. And that was while I was there. So the city probably made about $30,000 yesterday at that intersection.
Well, I think they say it's like, what, almost $500, $400-something dollars by the time you get finished with everything when you run through the stoplights there?
Well, I honestly believe that because it was so backed up and there were so many issues that their city should grant some clemency on the citizens of Reading for what happened in that intersection yesterday. It wasn't their fault. They should have a police officer there directing that traffic, taking care of it, and they didn't do it.
Well, there's going to be 1,000 reasons why they can't do that. And, none of them that are, that we like. But, I never even thought about it because, I saw the thing flashing, too, and I thought to myself, got that guy. I didn't see it.
Yeah, well, there's no deficit in Reading now. They took care of it yesterday.
We're going to be able to hire more traffic control officers and then bring them back every time that the crane collapses on the bridge. They say that this is not costing the city any money, Rob, having the traffic cameras there, that, anything over a certain amount that they collect comes to the city. And if it doesn't, we don't have to pay the deficit on it. But I'd like to find out how many people got caught at that light yesterday.
Well, like I said, it was at least 15 to 16 times while I was sitting there watching the traffic ease through there. And if you look at $350 a shot, and that was only in a 20-minute period, they made a lot of money yesterday.
I can't believe that they would collect on that.
Well, that's my thing. The citizens should get together, and they should really protest paying anything on yesterday's date that time frame.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, let's change the subject for a second. And, this was Got any information about a Boondock or Ball that's coming up?
Actually, we sure do. On March 27th, we will be having our second annual fundraiser for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. It will be our 40s-style USO dinner and dance at the Veterans Hall in downtown Reading. And we will be sponsoring the Straight Ahead Band. We'll be there playing our 40s music for us. We will have a 40s-style theme dance contest and also a costume contest for Rosie the Riveter type of a deal and for the dance costumes also. We're expecting it to be a great evening. And we're looking at our grand opening for the beginning of the museum in Shasta Lake City in the late fall of this year, 2010. So we're about 11 months out for the opening of our first stage of the museum. And so this fundraiser is to help us get in there and to be able to get these doors open and start honoring our veterans and our North State communities.
Well, I know, Rob, you've been working, terribly long hours and 7 days a week on this project and this Boondocker Ball, and we're going to, of course, we are backing this totally.
Everybody who's listening, mark your calendar because it's really an awesome event, and it's unlike any other event that happens in Reading. It is truly a throwback to an era, and if you like that kind of music, swing dancing, and people come in costumes, and I was just, Carl and I had a ball last year.
Yeah, it's like a USO show, but still, it was... we had a great time. There was, a lot of people. And, we should be able to fill that place up this year.
Oh, it's going to be a fantastic time, a fantastic opportunity. It's basically what it is. It's like going to a military ball. Anybody who has ever involved with the military and ever been to any kind of a military ball type function, but only set in the 1940s. And just the mood and the music and the camaraderie of the people that are there. It's just a fantastic time to be together and a fantastic organization to support.
And it's an all, it's all ages that were there too, from
absolutely.
from kids to teenagers to our World War II vets. It's great.
Yes.
Well, we will keep going back with our first subject. We'll keep our eyes open because we're going to raise some cane if anybody is fined for those lights, those traffic lights that when you were, completely caged in at the intersection up there on Cypress and Bocelli and or Hartnell, forget about it.
Yeah, give us a call.
Move through the intersection, the cars were stuck in the intersection kind of easing through.
Yeah.
They were getting flashed. I mean, some cars were getting flashed twice. So,
I bet
if I was one of those individuals, I'd be pretty ticked off.
But I bet you if they go back to the time that they were there and the date, they can say this is the date that the bridge was down. And so I hopefully.
Okay, but no, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, really.
Well, what it is, though, is people that get out into the intersection. Okay, here's my pet peeve. You get out in the intersection, and now you're blocking me off. And the light's changing.
Right.
And now you've blocked me off, so your time is much more important than my time, which is rude. So I hope you get flashed 3, 4, maybe 5 times, because when the light's going to change. It's yellow, so you hop out there in the middle of the intersection so you can block off somebody else.
That's on an average day. This is different. This is when...
No, because I'm stuck in the right lane. I'm stuck in that right-hand turn lane. I can't turn because...
Yeah, they were doing that. It was the left lane making a turn from Bocelli onto Cypress going... east was very slow, so the traffic was hung in the intersection almost every single time the light changed.
Well, there probably should be dispensation for this. Well, if anybody got caught in that, give us a call, and we need to find out. We'd like to follow this along. Hey, Rob, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You bet.
Bye.
Hey, we got to take a break here. It's Carl on the Bottom, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Get up. It's time to get going today. It's a little bit rainy, but this portion of the show brought to you by the Backroom Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. It's where we have our town hall meetings. They have the best walk-in humidor in the state. Espresso Joe's will give you any type of hot coffee drink, any type of mix that you want in that at very reasonable prices. Joe and Shelley support our community. And they have just a great emporium there. It's so much more than just a tobacco store. Sarah Palin.
We have tickets.
And Fox News.
And we
have joined forces, it appears. Palin's going to be a part-time commentator and be joining the Fox News lineup, or I should say the opinion lineup. You know, they do have news. Here's the funny thing is that people that hate Fox and hate Palin, and I don't use that word lightly. I mean, they do. They hate them. And if you don't think they do, just, you know, look at some of the comments and papers and some of the blogs and some of the things that people write. What they've just done is they have probably levitated the anti-Fox, anti-Palin forces to a new level, which in turn will raise Fox's ratings to a new level. You know, Fox, you know, the Fox channel there with their group O'Reilly and Hannity and all this, they have the largest ratings by far than any of the single networks, than CNN, Headline News, and of course MSNBC, and I still can't figure out MSNBC. But then again, a lot of people can't figure out O'Reilly and Hannity. But if you think that you think people were upset before, wait till this gets started. And Palin's going to be here in February.
That's right. We got tickets to go see her February 8th, and we actually have two more tickets that we're going to be giving away the beginning of February. And you know what I really like about Sarah Palin? I love how she just came in and just blew everybody away. I mean, your ideal of what, you know, somebody running who happens to be smart and pretty and interesting and likes to eat what she kills.
Well, you know,
and has five kids. You know, I mean, it's just, I think she has five kids. Is it four?
I think it's four.
Let's check that out. Hey, 604-4567. We're taking your calls. Engage with us on this one. What do you think?
Here's another big news item today. Mark McGuire. Mark McGuire, the hero of children. The man who broke the home run record of Roger Maris admitted today what everybody already knew, that he used steroids in 98 when he broke the record, the home run record of Maris. And after he did it, he ran over and he hugged Roger Maris' son. The Maris family has been very supportive of him. And today, or yesterday, Mark McGuire says, "You know, I used steroids. I used performance-enhancing drugs during that time frame." And he said, but he said, "You know what? It was just to heal an injury. It had nothing to do with his ability to hit home runs." Hey, you know what I think about that? I think he's lying.
I think enhancement is enhancement.
And that's true. And so what do you have? You've got, and it's not just him. You know, he said, "Gee, I wish I hadn't, you know, I hadn't been playing during that era of performance-enhancing drugs." No. Mark, what you should say is, you wish that you had the integrity and the moral courage not to use performance-enhancing drugs. Now, here's the big question. Should he give up the record? Should he give up the single-season record that he broke? He broke Maris's record. In my opinion, absolutely.
5 years later, I understand. I guess that would be your kind of like you're born again with your truth. 5 years later, a lot of people, maybe I'm because I'm not in that field, does it really matter now?
Well,
I mean, he said that he's used it. I mean, does he have to go through the ceremonial aspect of giving up his title and saying because of enhanced because steroids did enhance that I'm not the world's greatest?
Well, you know what? This is something we're going to discuss after we get back from our break. This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone numbers here are 605-4567. Mark McGuire cheated. He used steroids. He got the record. He became, you know, he how many millions of dollars did he pull in endorsements for that? And then 5 years later he goes, "Oh, you know what? I did use steroids back then." This is after he refused to answer in front of a congressional committee. So what should happen, if anything? And, you know, Linda says that, you know, it's been 5 years since then, and it's been over 10 years since it happened. Here's what I think. When athletes in the Olympics are found to have used performance enhancement drugs, they lose the medals. The medals are returned, the records are wiped out, and then they're banned from the sport for years in some cases. Mark McGuire cheated. He cheated and he broke a record and won all this fame and acclaim and money based on using steroids. Maris set this record, and if you ever read the story about it, the stress that he went through during that time that he broke Babe Ruth's record, it was unbelievable. Plus the fact that an asterisk was put by that because the baseball commissioner didn't like Maris. So you have Mark McGuire come in here, and he said, you know, that doesn't help you hit the ball better. You know, it's still your eye. Well, it may be, but it makes you hit the ball further because of that. So what do you think? Do you think Mark McGuire should give all of his awards up? Do you think that should be wiped out from the record books?
605-4567. Call us. Let us.
Yeah, I mean, if that's a big thing.
Jump in on this one. And by the way, Sarah Palin has five children. She had four children, and then she had this unexpected pregnancy with Trigg, her fifth child, who we know. There's so many things have been written about the fact that she decided to give birth to her Down syndrome child, and has found him to be quite the blessing. So five children. I thought I
was wrong. I'm sorry.
No. I wanted to look it up because I know we were thinking it was at four or five, and we want to be correct. You know, so that we've been batting. back and forth, the Sarah Palin becoming a correspondent or an opinion correspondent on Fox, as well as Mark McGuire and his use of steroids. Now, okay, let's talk about the use of steroids. I wish that somebody would call in who could tell me creatine, C-R-E-A-T-I-N. E is a powdered substance that I've taken, and I saw it yesterday where we worked out, that is for sale. It is over the counter, and I don't know if it's an enhancement or it's something to help with your muscles or let's look it up.
But that's legal, though. I mean, you can buy it over the counter. Let's go to the phones here. Coach Bob.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Here's the deal.
Okay.
Here's the deal. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on you saying good morning back. Here's the deal. If you want to get on somebody in baseball for hurting the sport, get on the baseball players that voted to strike in 94.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's the problem. You and nobody else can convince me that Mark McGuire hit home runs strictly because he popped the pill.
No,
he was hitting home runs that were going out of sight when he was at USC, and he wasn't on steroids.
He wasn't on steroids then, but he used steroids later. So you're saying that had nothing to do with him hitting more home runs.
What you're saying is the ball wouldn't have cleared the fence, Carl, if he hadn't been on some kind of powder or juice or mix or drink or injection.
What I say
and
is,
I,
what
you, I'm telling you, that is just false. When it comes to him, the man was hitting 550-foot home runs at USC in his freshman year in the major leagues. He set a rookie record for hitting one shy of 50 in 1989. He wasn't on any juice then. The man hit the ball a mile. What you're assuming here is that a bunch of those home runs wouldn't have cleared the fence if he hadn't been on juice, and it's just nonsense.
But we don't know that, Coach Bob. We don't know that because he was on it. What if 10 of them had? What was his final? What was his final count?
Not true.
What was his final count on home runs that year?
Which year?
On 98, when he broke the record. What was his? Didn't he shoot? Hit 67?
70.
He hit 70. 70. So that's.
I think it was 70.
Okay, so that was eight more than record, or nine more than what Maris had hit. What if?
And the year prior to that, he hit about 55 or 57, something like that.
Was he on it then?
Might have been.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. What if it made the difference of 5 or 6 feet? Because if I remember right, when he hit that last one, didn't it just barely go over the fence? I think
Carl,
I saw it.
For crying out loud. Carl, yes, it cleared the fence by about 3 feet. And you know how it cleared it? Like a .30-06 bullet, Carl.
Boy, he hit it hard. But yeah, Bob, he was using something that was illegal, wasn't he? Wasn't that illegal then?
I don't know what he was using back then. He was using androstenedione originally when he was with the Oakland A's.
Uh huh. But wasn't it illegal?
No.
Oh, so absolutely it was okay to take not, to take steroids then?
Say again?
It was okay to be taking steroids then?
I didn't say that. I said what he was taking was androstenedione, and he had the bottles of it right in his locker for everybody to see. And that's when one of these yahoos with the Chronicle broke the story, as he likes to say, because they like words like that. And there it was for everyone to see when they were interviewing him after a ball game. He wasn't hiding it. It was not illegal. He was using it. It helped him come back from the muscular breakdown that you go through when you have workouts.
Well, how come then in front of Congress he didn't say that? He would not admit it.
Business, just like it would be yours. He was advised, and probably very poorly, by whatever attorney or group of attorneys that he had. What he did not do, Carl, was lie through his teeth. What he did not do was lie under oath. He said he's not going to talk about it, and he didn't. Bless his heart.
But he's talking about it now.
Frankly, in my opinion, it was nobody's business.
Yeah, but he's talking about it now.
Well,
okay, Coach.
He's talking about it now, and bless his heart for that. When a guy hits 500-foot home runs, I'm sorry, he's not a warning track power guy.
I didn't say that he was, that he didn't have. I never said he didn't have ability and the ability to hit. I'm just saying is that he used performance-enhancing drugs. He said it. He apologized to the family, which means that he thinks there was something wrong with it. And we've got to take a break. We've got somebody else on the phone. Thanks a lot, Coach.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. We're going to take a break, or are we going to go to?
We'll take a break, and then we'll go to. Let's just go to Bob. Here's another Bob. Good morning, Bob. You're on KCNR.
Morning, Carl, Linda.
How are you?
I agree with you about that Mark McGwire. He should give up his award and everything because he made a lot of money off of that.
Well, our last caller, and he had some points there. McGwire's been hitting some pretty long home runs for a long time. It's nothing to say is that this man did not have natural ability, but now he's crying on TV, he's apologizing to the family for using these drugs. You know, that to me means that there's some guilt there. There's some guilt associated with this, and it's been 5 years. You know, it could have just kept going, but McGwire admitted that he used it. So.
Yep.
It's a
there's a reason why Fox News is number one.
Yeah.
The networks, they do give both sides of the story, and it's not a bunch of made up lies and stuff.
Well, Fox News is they're every they clearly outstrip the rest of the cable networks there, and if you add up all the other cable networks, they may beat Fox, but as far as any just one network, they are head and shoulders above them in the ratings.
Well, thanks for your opinion and your call this morning, Bob. We got to take a break now, and love you calling in. This is Carl and Linda Bott. We are taking your calls this morning, 605-4567, talking about Mark McGwire. That's the current subject right now in the use of steroids. Pro, con, what do you think? This is Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460.
Okay. Oh, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Phone lines here, 605-4567. We've talked about the bridge. We talked about the traffic lights, the automatic the traffic cameras taking 1,800 pictures, and we're talking about McGwire now. So let's go to the phones. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning, Carl, Linda.
Hey, how are you doing?
There's probably the most important election until the November elections come up in Massachusetts going on next Tuesday, and people should go on Scott Brown's website and send him some bucks. I mean, the guy came from double digit down to some polls having 1 point up.
Yeah, That's that would be a huge, huge upset.
Oh, absolutely.
In Massachusetts, a Republican get elected to Kennedy's position?
Well, but it holds that, but it keeps the majority down where they're not filibuster proof.
Yeah, but did you hear what the state of Massachusetts has said, or at least they've alleged, or that people have said they've alleged that they're going to do?
They said that they were going to vote prior to that, but they may not be able to.
Well, what they said was they wouldn't seat him.
Well, that's unconstitutional.
They would take their time to seat him, so that vote, that that 60th vote, would still be there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you know, first of all, but let's take it even beyond that, though, Bruce, because this is really a good point. Take it beyond that. This is Massachusetts. This is Kennedy.
Oh, it would be huge.
This is absolutely huge. We thought, you think New Jersey was a big thing. Yeah. You know, Virginia wasn't that big, but New Jersey was pretty big. For them to lose a Senate seat to a Republican is, you know, President Obama better start putting his resumes out if that's the case.
And back to the Sarah Palin joining the Fox News, but Matthews was, he was so excited last night that he was slobbering on his face.
You don't think,
incredible.
Do you think
they hate her with, I mean, it's incredible how much hate they have for Sarah Palin.
Do you think a tingle ran up his leg?
Oh, I mean, it was kind of comical the way he was slobbering all over himself.
Well, you know,
it was really kind of comical. Anyhow, I think people, if they can help out old Scott there and send him, go on his website there, Scott Brown, and send him some bucks.
Well, you know, that's probably a good idea, you know, because, you know, before they thought he didn't even have a chance.
Yeah.
And now, and now it's getting pretty close.
Yeah. And on the baseball issue, what happened to Barry Bonds? I mean, has anything ever happened there? He hasn't even been tried for his steroid use yet.
Well, you know, that was the other part I had was, is not just McGuire, but what about Bonds? Because he was in the middle of it too. And,
absolutely. If they think that they're going to get these people from Guantanamo tried in our lifetime, people are crazy. Anyhow, we'll go off the air and listen to the rest of it.
Okay, Bruce, thanks so much for your phone call.
You bet.
All right, let's go to Linda.
Or not.
Okay, we won't go to Linda. Okay, we lost
Linda. Well, we talked a little bit at the break about steroids. And Carl and I both spent a great deal of time in Europe and different countries. And, being a baseball hero, this is like a position that it's like being Superman.
Well, it is. It's heroes of, you know, kids idolize athletes, at least they used to. And these were somebody that
and grown-up kids.
You know, I understand what Coach Bob is saying. You know, Coach Bob says, hey, this guy was hitting 500-foot home runs when he was a freshman in college. Okay, that's great. That's fine. However, maybe I'm just a purist, that anytime you use any type of performance-enhancing, substances in your body, and there's something wrong with that. You shouldn't be able to get the record for that. You shouldn't be able to set a record and profit from that. You know, yes, I mean, you have to have a God-given talent that you've developed to get you to that area. But what if it's that other 2 or 3% that this thing gives you that allows you to do that? And then kids are out there saying, well, he did it. He's the home run champion, or he's the best fighter, or he's the fastest runner.
And are there levels of steroid use? I really wish on this topic I had called my girlfriend Wendy Scribner, and maybe this show will be in the archives, because Wendy was married to Rick Scribner, and I say the late, great Rick Scribner, a football player. I think he played with the Steelers?
No, I think it was the Steelers.
And from the time he was in high school playing football, he was using steroids, and at the young age of 36, developed liver cancer and died. So his two sons carry the badge of no steroids. They go around and talk to schools. They go around, and the oldest son, the youngest son is a Marine, and the oldest son is playing football. And, they're just big, strapping boys. But you look back probably in the early days of crude steroid use. I mean, even Schwarzenegger admitted to the fact that, there was a time that that's what you did. You're a bodybuilder, and, how do you get that huge? I mean, you could take a look at some of these muscle magazines, these guys are using steroids. So at which level? I mean, what is it that where people go? The reason I was saying Carl and I have spent time living and working in Europe is that there are people who actually live in America and travel to Mexico and travel into Europe to get certain growth hormones that are things that they feel enhance their that you can't get because the American Medical Association in the United States has not made it legal, so they have to go to Europe in order to get these certain kinds of things. I don't even know. It's called H something.
Well, it's human growth hormones that I think Stallone says he uses. I don't think you can get them here, but I'd have to check. Hey, we got to take a break here.
So are we as people to judge that?
The only thing is here's, you know what, I try not to be judgmental, but what I'm saying is this. Even if it enhanced him by 1% or 2%, and that pushed that ball over, you know, two or three or four or eight times, then he was still having help. He didn't do it naturally. He didn't do it like Maris. He didn't do it like Ruth. He didn't do it like so many other players have done. And he feels bad about it. You know, obviously he feels bad. He's crying on TV. He's apologizing to the families. So obviously he feels like he did something wrong. If he thought it was okay, then, and as many people say, you know, so what, he could still get it up there because he has that ability. Well, he thought it was wrong. That's why he brought it up. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
Yeah, feel that? I know you guys are playing air guitar. You got up this morning and went, it's raining. I think we're going to go do Need for Speed when we have our relatives come in, because she likes to race. Your sister's got one of those, what are those little Carl's car, the little car called?
Those little Mini Coopers.
Yes.
But she's had those little sports car for years.
Yeah, she's totally into it. So I think when they get here, we're going to, you know, maybe have lunch. I think we're going to take them out to Anselmo Vineyards. Hey, by the way, 47 degrees, it's raining outside. Take your umbrellas. Make sure it's going to be raining all day, by the way, and also be probably high about 50. So it's going to pretty much stay neutral in the 57 area with the rain. And so let's go to the phones. Good morning, Jim. You're on line one. You're on KCNR.
Hi, folks. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
You know, one thing Carl said that really made sense is is that in the Olympics, if you get tested positive, you get your medals taken away, and they really hammer you. And even though, you know, besides the fact that it's a performance-enhancing substance, it's illegal. You know, if these people are doing something illegal, then, you know, they should, you know, have to answer for it. Look at the Canadian snowboarder who got his medal taken away for smoking pot. That's not a performance-enhancing drug.
No.
Unless you're in an eating contest. But now,
it might have been a little laid back
there. For that, because it was illegal.
Yeah.
And I'll take my response off the air.
You know, Jim, that was, you know, really a great point. And that's what we're saying is that, you know, with all the things that are going on, you know, when people use something that's illegal, it's illegal. And you know what? You've got to draw a line. You've got to draw a line someplace. You know, what's right? In this case, it wasn't right. McGuire, who I admired, you know, I saw him set that record. It was just one of those things that because I don't usually watch baseball, I just happened to see it when he was batting, and I realized, hey, this guy's getting close, so I just watched the game. You know, I admired that guy. You know, I thought, well, here's somebody that, you know, has worked hard and has earned this. Yeah, okay, maybe he has worked hard, but when he puts something into a system that makes him stronger. And, you know, come on, hitting a home run takes strength, you know, in today's baseball, I mean, with the pitchers and this, you know, and what they're doing.
Here is something that is quote-unquote. He said that the 48 hours that included his congressional testimony, where he repeatedly refused to directly answer if he had used steroids and instead said he wanted to focus on the future, were the worst of his life.
Yeah, you know, it's I realize that, you know, McGuire went through a lot, but so does you know, it doesn't mean it's right. And so, you know, you've either got to say it's right or wrong, and it should be, it, you know, is it still be rewarded if Barry Bonds is found to have taken steroids for all these years, and, you know, and he set all these records, you know, should the records be, you know, just expunged from them? And the old ones put back up again, or any ones that since then have taken the records.
McGuire's attorney, Hutton Williams, partner Mark Bierbauer, told the American Lawyer, which is where this source is from, He wanted to tell the truth then, which was quite a risk at the time. He was aware that he could be prosecuted and that his family and friends could be the subject of criminal investigations, and now he felt it was time to get this off his chest and tell the truth.
Oh, see? And that's where we're going with it. Anyway, okay, we've been talking stories. Our guest in the next hour, Kent Daggs, Builders Emporium. He's been in the news a lot lately with some ideas he and a group of others have come together with to help raise funding, raise tax revenue for our city. And when we come back, we're going to ask Kent a number of questions and see if there's any more ideas coming down the pike. This is Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. I enjoy listening to Fox News. You know, I like to hear those different things. Our guest in this hour has been in the papers a lot lately, been in the news, Kent Daggs. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks Kent. For joining us, Kent.
Kent Dagg, Chief Executive Officer of the Shasta Builders Exchange.
That's correct.
Okay, if somebody doesn't know what the Shasta Builders Exchange is, can we go back? Just give us a picture. Of course, we love this in Radio Land anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Paint us a picture of how it started and what it consists of and what your duties are as the Chief Executive Officer.
Well, actually, the Shasta Builders Exchange started in Reading in 1955. I was not the CEO then. But it started in 1955, and it actually failed. And a few of the local contractors, Ed Ochinero being one of them, put up their own money to keep it opened. And in 1960, they hired a lady named Maud Cameron, and she ran it for 25 years. And then there was a brief 6 months after she retired that somebody else ran it. And then I was asked to come in and run the exchange, and that was in June of 1987, and I've been there ever since. Just to define what the Builders Exchange is, it's an association of contractors and construction-related businesses. That's it. And members that belong to the exchange pay annual dues. Right now, I think they're $380, and for that, we provide a litany of services. The most important of those services is what the name is about, exchange. And a contractor couldn't afford to buy all the plans he wants to bid on. And so we are able to get the plans and put them in one place, and the exchange members pay annual dues so they can all come in and look at them.
Like, say, for instance, a plan would be for a bathroom?
No, we don't go down to the remodel category, although we, in this market, we would. But it's mainly the larger jobs that are more commercial, road work, infrastructure, prevailing wage work. We have both public and private jobs. In the course of a year, we average about 2,500 to 2,600 plans.
Was the Builders Exchange involved with the building of Stillwater?
Actually, yes.
How is that? Isn't that just the, you know, here it is, you build something, build it, and they will come. It's a torturous thing, I think, for the North State right now to have such a structure and such a, you know, a piece of property that we're trying to do something with, that it makes sense.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of things about history about Stillwater that a lot of people don't really recognize. It actually started one night at a council meeting, and I was at that council meeting, and then Councilman Pat Kite was frustrated because the city did not have any large parcels. There simply weren't any in the city limits. And so Pat got excited about it and wanted to form a committee and everything else. And I remember Mayor Bob Anderson telling him, gee, Pat, if you want to do that, that's fine. But his famous line was, things take time. And I volunteered for that committee from the audience because I wanted to help. And I recognized it. We had just lost the Walmart distribution center down to Tama County. And so that was about 12 years, 13 years ago. And that's how long it took to get Stillwater to where it is.
Wow. And then since then, of course, in the last year or even 2 years, but especially in the last year, the industry has just been hammered.
Yes. The economy has downturned. Nobody could have predicted that 12 years ago when we started Stillwater. Redding was in a much more growth mode. The EDC under Jim Zauer was chasing down many different clients, possibilities for Redding. Knopf was one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with the EDC so that when out-of-town businesses come in here, they come to our facility and we discuss land costs, labor costs, building costs, those kinds of things, and let them know that we have the local workforce that can build just about anything.
EDC stands for?
Economic Development Corporation.
They were the ones out trying to beat the bushes to try and get business up.
So when so let's say a software company decides to get out of the Bay Area or wherever, Seattle, and come to Redding, they would go to EDC, which then would come to you.
Well, EDC, we're on their list. We're one of their supporters, actually. And we have been since the beginning of the EDC, which was, I remember, it goes back to the 60s. And we have the various cities and county also help fund EDC. And so their role is on not just new businesses to Redding with job opportunities, but also existing businesses and the expansion of those.
Okay. Hey, we have to take a quick break here. This is Carl and Linda Bott from Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Kent Dagg.
605-4567. If you have a call for Kent, please do call, and we are going to take our break now.
Ready.
Set. Go.
This is Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. You know, Linda, I'm going to take a coffee away from you. I think you're, you know, an Espresso Joe's is, you know, is loading you with something here. Our guest is Kent Dagg.
That's my hands. I'm rubbing my hands. Bobby's
from, from the Builders Exchange. Okay. Big things in the news. And, you know, I don't see how anybody could have missed it, but a group of men, or a group of people got together, I should say men, a group of people got together to come up with some ideas on how to bring in, I guess, more funds into our city. And you somehow, you are the leader in this. I shouldn't say somehow, but you are the leader in this, Kent. The Radical 10.
Yeah, the Radical 10. You know, I had to give a little bit of a history lesson in this because I've been asked, you know, how and why and where and everything else. Well, like most really good ideas, I was taking a shower. And
that's where mine come too.
Yeah. And while I was in the shower, I was frustrated because there had been a story written that was talking about Redding's construction valuation for 2009. And the valuation they were saying was the lowest Redding has seen since 1973. And it bothered me when I read that. I was in a shower and I was thinking about it and going, you know, that's not right. I know that's not right. And I couldn't figure out why. And finally, it dawned on me that in 1973, Enterprise was not annexed to Redding. It was a separate area. It was part of the county. And so really what it translates to then was 2009 from construction valuation was the worst year ever in Redding's history, okay?
Ever.
Ever. Now, at that time, I had 840 or 50 members of the exchange, and it bothered me because I was losing members. And I was losing members not because we weren't doing our job. I was losing members because they were going bankrupt. They were moving to Texas because there's work in Texas. There's no work. So, just drying off from that magical shower, I was thinking, you know, I got to do something radical here. I got to come up with something, some ideas. And I was heading down to my grandson's six-year-old flag football game. And I was sitting on the sidelines, and I was watching those kids go up and down the field, having a ball, not even knowing what they're faced with in this economy. Those children and what they're going to get faced with when they become adults.
Pay it forward stuff.
And as I spoke at halftime, a bunch of the 20 to 30-year-old dads came over, and I said, let me run an idea by you guys. And there was five or six of them around there. And so I threw out this idea of this Radical 10, and I picked 10 because it matched with 2010, no magic there. And I only had about one or two ideas, or three, and I shared it with those guys, and I watched the look on their face for reaction, and they were so shocked. They said, I think that's great, but how are you going to do it? And I said, well, I'll probably put together a committee and then ask the city council. He goes, you'd go to the city? They don't know what I do for a living. And so they go, you go to the city council and ask them? I said, yeah.
I mean, that's what they're there for, yeah. Right?
And guys, you can do that too.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, fortunately, without having to do a political science class, halftime ended and the boys went back and played. And my grandson did real good, by the way. And so anyhow, I couldn't get the thought out of my head. And I had a board meeting come up in about 3 days at the exchange, and with the help of my staff, because I don't think computers will ever really catch on, because I can't work one. And I had them put together a real quick little PowerPoint. Then at the board meeting, I said, hey, I have this idea that's been drilling around my head, and I ran through five or six slides. And at the end of it, I said, now, before you say anything, if you want me to pass this on to somebody else, whether it's Kurt Starman or Mary Machado at Shasta Voices or some other entity, I'll happily do that. And the answer was an overwhelming no. They said, we love this idea. We want you to run with it. And I went, I got to tell you, frankly, I was sort of shocked that they took that position. And after they did, I said, okay. And so then I went to run with it. The first meeting I went to city council was in October. And at the purpose of the October meeting was to give them just a nutshell of what I was thinking about, and that I was going to form this committee, and that I would like Kurt Starman and Greg Clark from the city to serve on it. They agreed, and then I added the rest of the committee members. And nobody turned me down.
Well, how could they? I mean, we're talking about trying to push the city forward, and it doesn't make any difference to me, who starts it, who's pushing it. The fact is, if you can get the city council to move forward, get them off the dime, that's a huge thing.
And I think all they needed to move forward was a little help.
Our guest is Kent Dagg. If you have... I'll tell you what, it's great to have you here, and I love it. Give us a call, 605-4567. If you have a question, we're talking about the Radical 10. This does affect our community, so call us and tell us what you think. Now's the time to ask the man in the chair. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460.
Gotcha.
It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We have Kent Dagg, who started the, of course, he's the CEO of Builders and Porn, but he's also started Builders Exchange. I'll be okay here. It's only like three mistakes I've made in an hour and a half.
Who's counting?
Well, I do. Anyway, the Builders Exchange put together this group on some ideas to move Reading forward. One of the things when you said you had the worst year in 2009.
Yeah.
And, in today's paper, it showed another store closing down. One of the bedrooms, what is it?
Bedrooms Direct, I think.
Anyway, they're shutting down. And the reason they're shutting down is the fact that construction has gone down so much that their sales have just gone to nothing. Because without new homes and being built and all this, the people aren't buying new mattresses.
So, usually 2.3 mattresses per house, I would think.
Yeah.
And they said, and so it's just, you know, so they've shut down after all this time. It's unfortunate. But see, I believe it's a direct result of what's going on, of course, in the construction industry and everything else that's going
on.
We have so many businesses in Reading that are failing. A lot of things that people don't even know that they're just on the verge of going out of business. They're just barely hanging on. And part of the reasons, and, you know, this is a completely different subject we will get to at some other time, is that they're pulling the flooring from, they're pulling their, you know, their lines of credit, and they're doing all these things to these businesses. So they can't maintain.
Pulling the flooring from the car industry.
Well, they're doing that. I mean, 6,000 car dealerships closed last year.
Right.
But let's go back here to our...
Not to sound bleak.
No, because we've been promised everything's going to get better. You know, this year has been so much better than other years.
And so your ideas can't with the Radical 10, how we do things radically different in order to, I guess, in this economy, make a huge shift.
Well, you know, the bottom line to the Radical 10 idea was job creation. It's plain and simple. We need jobs, whether they're construction jobs or any other field. That was one of the major intents of the Radical 10. The second attempt of the Radical 10 was to get people thinking from every walk of life, everybody, what ideas do you have? Because it shouldn't rely just on the construction industry to come up with ideas. It should be from everybody. And if everybody is thinking about radical changes we can make that will increase job opportunities, that trickle down that you were referring to starts really in construction, because we're one of the largest employers there is in Shasta County. So we started with the various Radical 10s, and one of the first ones that got some attention was the so we have this nice, beautiful Stillwater Park. Let's just give a lot away. I mean, think about that. If you are soliciting a business and you're in Norfolk, Virginia, and you're sitting in some manufacturer's office who wants to move to the West, and you reach into your pocket and pull out the deed and say, oh, well, you come to Reading, here's your lot. Congratulations. I think that has an impact.
Plus, it brings in industry.
It brings in industry and it brings in jobs.
Well, people paying money for things.
Yep.
Well, you know, this came up during our town hall meeting we had last Friday, and, you know, I'm all for this. But somebody said
our internet show
on on Fridays,
right?
We have the statement was, well, why not give them all away?
Well,
you know, why not? If people are going to build businesses under this auspices, and you're going to be hiring hundreds, if not thousands, of people, why not give them all there? You know, because obviously nobody is beating our door down right
Nobody's
now.
Nobody's beating anybody's door down in any community right now, because there's very little business expansion. However, during the course of the Radical 10, one of our members, Les Melberg and Nichols Melberg, Rosetto Architects,
right.
Les had been working with about four different clients who were interested in the Reading area. And as a result of that, he decided to himself to chase down those four or five individuals and tell them that we were thinking about this land giveaway at Stillwater. As a result of that, one of them became very interested. And I honestly don't know the name of the company, or I would tell you, but I don't even know. That company came out here the day that I presented the Radical 10 to City Council last week, and Les commented to the City Council that on a scale of 1 to 100, it's about an 80% chance that they are going to relocate here.
That's great.
That's a real good one. And it's an indication of the success, if it happens, of doing something radical. And that's just one of the 10, and happened to be dealing with Stillwater.
Well, you know, it's the fact is that Stillwater's here.
From your lips to God's ears, let's hope that happens.
Yeah.
Sorry. Really?
Well, yeah. You know, the thing is that we've got Stillwater. We spent millions of dollars on it, and the only thing we're gonna, you know, we've got to bring in industry. If that's one of the ways of doing it, then let's just think that way. Let's think out of the box. You know, our city council, when we've elected them to move our city forward, and that we're having problems of such gargantuan times now, with the economy that just going the same way is not going to work. And if we have to give away the first one and second one, because I tell you right now that Southern Oregon brags about the fact that they take businesses away. And one of the ways they do it is just what we're talking about. They provide spaces for people to go to.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to. We've got to take a quick break here. It's Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR. Our phone line here is 605-4567. Join us after these messages.
Morning. It's 8:32 here on KCNR 1460. It's 47 degrees out, raining. If you're just tuning in now, our special guest is Kent Dagg. The weather is brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. Go out there and try their award-winning wines. Kent, good morning.
Good morning.
Once again, we're talking about Stillwater. We're talking about the Radical 10. Of the Radical 10, tell us which one is getting the most, that's getting the most attention.
That's difficult. The feedback I've gotten via phone calls or emails or whatever, and I've gotten a lot. The ones that I'm getting the most on are, one of the Radical 10 said, you know what, we have a lot of vacant space in this town, a lot of vacant space. And as a result of that, one of the ideas was, well, let's allow landlords to voluntarily contribute that vacant space for 1 year.
Ugh.
Free rent for 1 year. Now, the exchange, we have a vacant space. It's about 2,200 square feet. And I said, fine, I'll be first. So we would take our 2,200 square feet and we would put it into this real estate bank for free for 1 year. And the Board of Realtors is actually going to take this project on. Okay, so we have the space available. And as you know, in business, the first year is always the most difficult to succeed. So this space would be made available to anyone coming into Reading that creates jobs. And we've had a number of people that have contacted me, young people in particular, that same 20 to 30 year old group that I was sitting on the sidelines with, and they have ideas, but they have no capital. And so one of the radical ideas is to create a private venture capital fund. So we have a venture capital fund and we have free space for a year. Well, if these young people have that good of an idea that creates jobs, creates the flow of the economy, here's the venture capital, which the EDC, we're hoping the city council agreed to send a letter to the EDC to have them manage the venture capital, and then the Board of Realtors are going to have the free space.
You know, I love this idea. You know, we've had Small Business Week on before.
I know three people right now that would jump on that.
You know, previously. And we're going to have this again, and we want to ask you back for that week.
Sure.
And what we did was we brought in business owners and people from the area that said, you know, what can we do to make things easier? You know, how can we bring business in? One really good idea was, why don't we go to Chico, to the university there, to these young graduates who've got these great ideas, but they don't, just like you said, they don't have the capital. But they have great ideas. And give them some space here. Let's bring them in here, get them started. Like, what if you bring in 10 of them and say half of them work because they've got the backing and capital-wise, they've got a place, you know, here that's for free when they, you know, they're starting it up. What if half of them work? What if 30% of them work? Now we've got a 30% growth right there, and it could be something great here.
It really could be, and I think, you know, if you look at the first year of business failures, it's well documented nationally that the first year of business is always the most difficult. So let's help them.
Let's help them every way we can, because, and especially the young ones, because, you know, they've got the energy, they've got the enthusiasm, you know, they're coming out of here with higher tech ideas in many cases that we need to pull into here, because we're not going to be building big plants in Shasta County.
So if we offer them these things, and that's part of this Radical 10, is then maybe we can create jobs, because that's the bottom line here, is how do we create jobs so they can spend it everywhere?
That's right. Now, one of the ideas didn't meet with a lot of approval here.
Oh, which was that?
In fact, there was two of them. The one about raising the tax.
A sales tax. Yeah. I would tell you that in my history, I've never voted for a sales tax increase. And passing a sales tax in Reading is next to impossible. But I want you to understand that issue was put forth with the idea that a one penny sales tax increase in the course of a year would generate somewhere between $16 and $19 million in 1 year. What we were proposing is, of that $16 to $19 million, we identify in Reading infrastructure, because if you look back to the Great Depression, one of the things that drug us out in the 1930s out of the Great Depression was infrastructure. Built Shasta Dam, built infrastructure, put people to work. So for 1 year, and it would sunset at the end of that one year, we would do creative infrastructure projects around Reading. So what does that solve? Well, those people in those areas would be grateful that you fixed their sewer system, water system, whatever it might be. The city would like to get those projects off of their table. And would I give up my penny in tax? Yeah, I probably would, knowing that in the end of 1 year, it sunsets, it goes away.
Well, you know, if I knew that it would end in 1 year, and I knew where the money was going, here's my problem with any time we raise taxes, is the money gets frittered away to projects that have nothing to do with what the tax was raised on.
Right.
And, you know, that's what I think a lot of people, they're saying, you know, right in the middle of one of the worst economic periods of our time, you know, we want to raise the tax, even one penny. I understand what you're saying, and I can't help but agree with a lot of it, that if I knew that it was going to go to this specifically with nothing else, and it would end at the end of a year, and would build up and give us something like that, you know, I would have to go back and maybe rethink some of
it. Yeah, and the legislation, Carl, would be on the ballot and described exactly that way. It would identify the actual infrastructure projects, and it would identify that it sunsets on the last day of 2010. But the city council wasn't there. That's okay.
Right.
At least it was thinking.
Yeah, got it. We're going to take a call now. Cameron, you have a specific question for Kent. Good morning. You're on KCNR.
Thank you, Linda. Yeah, I did have a quick question. I was wondering if Kent could give us any kind of update. He was speaking regarding infrastructure improvements, and I know that one of the primary priorities of the city council has been for Oasis Road interchange improvements, and wondered if there was any new news on that.
Well, thank you, Cameron. The interchange was identified by the Reading City Council as their number one infrastructure priority in the city limits. And the obvious reasons for that infrastructure is it opens up, and it's needed, but it opens up very large areas of commercial and residential lands that could help generate the tax revenue that the city needs for the problems that they're having. The last I was told, the Oasis interchange was part of the Tiger Grant, and it was successful, and that we're going to see, hopefully, the remainder of the monies come forward through the developers of that area, Don Levinson and John Thomason. And the developers there will have to kick in also, and we get the thing built.
Could you tell us after the break what the Tiger Grant is?
Probably not.
Okay.
It's part of the stimulus package.
Okay.
Oh, just one of those things. Cameron.
Yes?
Do you have any follow-up on that one before we take a break?
No. That was it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Cameron.
All right.
This
Bye.
Is Carl Lindebaud on Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Our guest is Kent Dagg. Our phone line, you're 605-4567 if you have questions for the Radical 10. The Tiger is the Transportation Investment Generating Economic Recovery from the Department of Transportation, and you're eligible from state, local, county, cities if you want to do infrastructure and for bridges and highways and stuff. Tiger. So there.
Good.
You know, I know you don't like computers, but this is why we use them.
Yeah.
The you know, when we also when we had our internet show, the question about the marijuana. I mean, I couldn't believe it. It took. We had, of course, Missy McGar, the vice mayor, was on our show, and the question that took probably 20 to 25 minutes for this was the marijuana question about why don't we sell marijuana? Why doesn't the city sell marijuana? Or what about the excise tax?
Yeah.
That was thinking really out of the box. How'd you come up with that one?
Actually, that one was proposed by a city employee. It wasn't one that our committee came up with. A city employee suggested that the city get into business. And if you think about it, it made a lot of sense because if I was an owner, a business owner in the Mission Square on Bocelli Lane, and next door to me was a marijuana dispensary place, I would shift my business plan to sell munchies and provide lots and lots of munchies. The bottom line to this is that, you know, I don't want my little football-playing grandson, you know, he'll grow up eventually and he'll figure out what's right and wrong, but at 6 years old, I don't want him walking by a marijuana dispensary center saying, Grandpa, what's that stuff? You know, I don't want to deal with that. And so the idea that this city employee had was, how many fraudulent prescriptions are written? And I'm here to tell you, I'm sure quite a few. And so if you have to come into the police station, which would be the dispensary, I guess they have cameras in there, and they have people that can look at prescriptions and see if they're legitimate or not. It just seemed like a better way to control. If it's going to happen, fine. But let's control it so that it's not out there for every child to see.
I mean, I see that reasoning. But, of course, the city council on that one probably has their hair caught on fire when this came out. About it, it's pretty hard for a city to get into selling a federally banned substance. I'm
yeah,
sure.
You know what? In the city council's defense, this all came down from the state.
Yeah.
And one of the drawbacks with local government, whether it's the city or the county, is that they have to deal with these mandates from the state and the feds. And frankly, I don't know how they do it sometimes because I know that they are not in favor of a lot of the things that get handed down to them, but their hands are tied.
Well, you know, these federally mandated programs, you know, especially like in the prisons,
mm-hmm.
where we've got, you know, over 100,000, you know, prisoners in there, the illegals, and they have, they're not being funded for it. We're having to pay for all these things, which is having a huge impact on our economy. You know, the excise tax, though, I believe that in Oakland they're doing this, and a couple other cities they're raising money due to an excise tax.
Yeah, they did. Jerry Brown, the mayor of Oakland, and most likely our next governor,
again.
You know, they implemented that tax. I don't follow Oakland politics, so I don't know how it works
or anything like that.
But if it worked in Oakland and they're generating revenue, it works for me.
You know, one of the questions that came up was that, how do you tax it? It's a non-profit organization. How do you tax something like that? Now, so I'm sure it must be a way around it, because if you tax one non-profit organization, why don't you tax other non-profits, which could open up just a horrible can of worms here.
Yeah, the whole marijuana issue was not something that the Radical 10 wanted to get involved with.
Yeah.
But this issue came forward, and the committee looked at it and went, you know, it makes sense. And so we thought, we'll put it in there and see what happens.
I'm going to ask you a question that is just so layman, which, of course, I am.
I'm 58.
What? Well, I'm 51.
Well, there you
go. Yeah.
Well, I look at you don't.
Hey, I want to ask you about the bridges.
Okay.
We use the bridge, both 44 and Cypress, probably five times a day. What's the completion date?
I actually don't know. I think 2012 is a completion date. You know, Reading, I remember years and years ago, they used to say, how difficult it is to manage a city like Reading, because there are certain things that divide communities. There's either one of these, a railroad track, a river, or a freeway. Hey, we got all three.
Mm.
Okay, so that makes it even more difficult. And, of course, when you have any of those, you have to have overcrossings and undercrossings and everything else. That gets expensive. So I know that the upgrade on those two bridges were extremely necessary. And a lot of money came from the state. So as long as money comes from the state back here, I'm happy with it.
Yeah, we just, when I say layman, it's just that we use them all the time. Or you're thinking, I'm sure a lot of people who just maybe don't want to get involved with politics or what's happening, how long is this bridge thing going to go on? Mm-hmm. So,
and especially when cranes collapse on the bridge, that kind of slows
things
down.
Yeah, and you have to take another form and you go back on 5, but you have to cross back over to get downtown on another bridge. Well, we got to take a break here. It's Carl and Linda Bott. We're talking to Kent Dagg, taking your call, 605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Our show has been brought to you in portion by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest Tobacco Emporium, but it's so much more than just a tobacco store with everything else they have. Our guest is Kent Dagg of Builders Exchange. Mm-hmm. Changing the subject completely, you have told the Record Searchlight you will never give them a one-on-one interview again. Is that correct? Or?
No, that's absolutely correct, Carl. It's not really an interview. They used to call regularly to have me help them write their stories for the paper and get quotes. And I've just grown tired of the people that they allow to write comments on these articles regarding things other than the subject. And they don't require them to put their names on these articles. And as a result of that, people say and do a lot of things that are really not right. I have children. I have grandchildren. I have friends. I have family members. And if they see us in the paper and then these vicious comments that are on there, can I give you just one quick example?
Yes, please do.
I had last night, as a matter of fact, at home, I had printed out the Radical 10 article that was in the paper on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 80 comments on that site for that story. Out of the 80 comments, if you took out the multiple people just yakking back and forth, there were probably maybe 20 people. And those 20 people, during the commercial breaks of watching Jerry Springer, went to their computers and wrote some of the most horrible things about the photograph that was in the paper. And the photograph was of me, Debbie from the Smart Center, and the background was Les Melberg. And they wanted to, the first group was calling, pointing out the clothes, the hairstyles, the whether or not our sexual preference was, those kinds of things. And then they got into the name calling. Foghorn, Leghorn, or whatever his name was one of them for me. They referred to Les as Les Jeremy, the porn star of the 70s. I mean, what does that have to do with the story at all? It's just vicious, and I think it's unwarranted, and I have asked them to change their policy. Bruce Ross has clearly stated, no, I'm not changing the policy, and that's the way it's going to be. Okay, that's fine. That's a business decision he makes for his paper. My business decision for me and my organization is I don't have to talk to you guys.
So you've drawn your line.
I've drawn my line and stand, and I sincerely hope others will. Now, unfortunately, the public sector, the guys that work for the government and everything else, they can't do that.
How does one reach you if they have questions for you, Kent?
Well, there's a number of ways. My phone number is 221-5556. That's the exchange. My email is kent@shastabe.com. And then we have a website, Shasta something. Builders Exchange. Just look it up at Shasta Builders.
There you go. Look under Builders Exchange.
Yeah.
You have somebody manning your website.
Geez, I can't get it all straight.
I know, it gets crazy. It does get crazy, the whole computer. I'm a Mac and Carl's a PC. Imagine that.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's been a pleasure having you on today. I think we need to have you come back, and we need to go through one by one the Radical 10. I think something that we're also going to be discussing is down the road is the night and road and the crazy yes and no's on the development of what's happening on the 5 corridor. Anything else, Carl?
Well, you know, we want to have on our internet show, we want to have a round table about this.
Sure.
It'd be in the next few weeks. And we want to be able to let people come in. You've got like 30 seconds left. Rick, you're up.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on Kent Dagg and say how much I appreciate him and what he's done for the community. I'm a local contractor here. But as far as a record searchlight goes, it's funny when us employers try to hire somebody, use the paper, we pay 100 times more than somebody running a general ad in the paper. And I quit using the searchlight because of the cost of trying to hire an employee through them. They're missing out. Well, so, Kent, thank you for everything you do.
Thank you, Rick, very much.
All right.
And there's also some other things going on with the with Record Searchlight. I mean, they're a publicly traded company. They've got to do some things. We don't have time to talk about them now, but we'll get to them later on this week.
Well, thank you for being our guest.
Hey, I really enjoyed this, and I'll be glad to come back anytime.
Absolutely,
we try to give everybody a shot here. You know, a voice, and then people can call in and ask questions. They can make comments. Our whole rule, and maybe it's a little bit different than others, is. You're a guest in our house, so let's just be civil. Let's just discuss things. They don't have to agree with you.
That's right.
But, you know, it's something we do. So
tomorrow.
Thanks a lot, Kent. Tomorrow, Greg Winter from he's the chairman of the Democratic Steering Committee of Shasta County. So it should be a little bit more, it should be a little bit different show.
Mix it up.
Hey, this is Carl in the Bot on Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Well, which are you?